3, Club Hebrew, and we are continuing in our study of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I think we got to verse 17 last week, and so we're going to start at verse 17. If you will remember, it was a description of what the practice of the priests was when the children of Israel came to offer sacrifices, and they would take improperly part of the sacrifice. And so now we continue in that, and the author's evaluation of it. Ah, good to see everybody here. So we're going to start with verse 17. Vatehi chata'at ha-ne'arim gerola me'od et p'nei Yahweh ki ne'atsu ha-nashim et minchat Yahweh. Okay? And the sin, notice that that's third feminine singular, that's why the verb is tehi. And the sin of the ne'arim, of the servants, was gedola me'od, great, very great. See? So the sin of the servants was very great. Et p'nei Yahweh, before Yahweh. Remember, et p'nei is parallel to lifnei. We've seen et p'nei used kind of as an alternate throughout this section. All right. Ki ne'atsu. Ne'ats. Does anyone see the root of ne'ats? Well, I just gave it away. It's easy. It's ne'ats. This is, what's the conjugation, I should ask? It's kind of a little unusual. Anyone see it? It's actually a PL. There's no dagesh in the aleph, of course, because the aleph can't take it. So that's what you get. And it means to scorn. For ha'anashim, for the men scorned the minchat Yahweh, the gift of Yahweh, or the offering of Yahweh. Notice you have to ask yourself, what's the relationship between minchat and Yahweh, right? So Yahweh's gift, maybe it's possessive, or the offering to Yahweh, you know, probably both of those thoughts are in mind. Or if you translate minchat more as gift, notice you could also take Yahweh as more of a subjective, the gift that Yahweh had given Israel, namely the sacrifices and all that, and that kind of has a nice resonance with our Lutheran theology of the sacrifices not being so much sacrificial in character, but also sacramental in character. Remember that Yahweh actually gives something to the people in their sacrifices, namely the forgiveness of sins and the assurance of his love and care and promises. That was a big factor in the whole sacrificial system. So kind of think about it in those terms. Alright. Does anyone have any questions about verse 17? It's fairly straightforward here. Alright, as we go on to 18 then, this is kind of an inclusio because you will notice that it repeats the thought of verse 11. Let me read verse 18. U'shemuel meshareit et p'nei Yahweh na'ar chagur ephod bad. Alright, if you go up to verse 11, just go right on up. And notice the second half of that verse. Vehana'ar, notice the youth was mesharet, serving Yahweh before Eli. So here you have the same thing. Now Samuel, mesharet, was serving before the Lord. Alright, so again, it's kind of telling you that this is a concluded, it's switching to a different episode. It's kind of an inclusio. You can almost see how it's closing up one scene and moving to something else. That mesharet, notice, is a PL participle from Sharat. And notice you can use it with or without the Hayah, but you would translate it the same, I would suppose. Samuel was serving before Yahweh. Now notice that it is almost in contrast to the evil of the sons who has been described. So you have to kind of think in this serving, he was serving Yahweh faithfully, see? Because I think that the author wants to make this distinction, as he does at the beginning in verse 11. Remember, he contrasts Samuel with the sons of Eli, and here he kind of does it again. So that Bob there, you might even want to translate again with the contrast. But Samuel was serving before Yahweh. And I think you do have to think, was serving faithfully before Yahweh. All right. Na'ar, he was a youth, chagur. This is a participle passive call from chagar, which means to gird. And notice that it is an attribute of na'ar. He was a youth who was girded, and now what follows is what he was girded with. An ephod of linen. And notice again, in Hebrew, you don't necessarily have to have a preposition. You can have the accusative case that has something like, you know, after this verb of being girded with something. It's not uncommon to just see it juxtaposed there without a preposition bait or something like that. But in English, you see, we'd have to put that with in there. All right? Many questions about verse 18. All right, good. Verse 19. U'me'il katon ta'aset lo imo, v'ha'alta lo miyamim yamima ba'alota et isha lizboch et zevach hayamim. Okay, me'il is a mantle or a cloak, okay, a coat. And a coat, a katon, a small one. Alright, so it's kind of cute. You know, you go out and buy clothes for your little toddler. So that's kind of what it's indicating here. You've got this, look at this, how, my mother-in-law, look what I got for my grandchild. Alright, so but a little coat, ta'aseth. Notice that that is an imperfect. And it probably is to be interpreted as this habitual action. And notice the context will make that very clear. So a little coat she would make for him, Imo, his mother. See? So his mother would make a little coat for him. Okay, now let's look at this next word. Vet ha'alta. What's the root? Anyone see it? What's that? Yes, Allah. And what conjugation is it? It's a hiphil. Notice that you have a two pataks there, probably because it's, the second one is influenced by the guttural. So remember, if this was katal, it'd be hik teal, but this is third feminine singular, hik tela, hik tela. So notice it would be hi leta, but since you have the guttural here, it's ve ha'alta. So this is a hiphil, third feminine singular. Vav plus perfect from Allah. And she, and notice you would translate it the same way as the imperfect previously. And she would bring it to him. See? So the small mantle she would make, his mother would make for him, and she would bring it up to him. Miyamim yamim, and we saw that earlier in chapter 1. Every year, yearly. Literally, from days to days. All right, but this is an idiom, and it seems to mean yearly, because Hannah and the family always went up for the yearly sacrifice. So you bring it up to him yearly, ba'alota. Now, what's the root of ba'alota? Sin? Ah, very good. Allah, you're my Allah person today. Call, what? Call what? Good. Infinitive construct. The giveaway is the oat at the end. And the preposition, remember, finite verbs won't have a preposition before them. In her going up. So, you know, so this is a call. So notice the two words there. She would bring it to him yearly in her going up. Or more temporal translation, when she went up at Isha with her husband, Lisboa. Notice the lamed plus the infinitive construct is purpose. In order to sacrifice, the sacrifice of the days. But here would be the yearly sacrifice. Notice, again, just for your own information, yom, you learned, is day. But in certain contexts, it doesn't mean days. It means an indefinite period of time sometimes. Or here, customary or yearly or something like that.
So how do we determine that context?
Because here the contextual clues, both in chapter, if you start in chapter 1 and... it says clearly, first of all, it starts talking about mi yamim yamima, and then it says this kept happening every year, shana. So it kind of helps you understand what it's talking about. And so here, if you've been reading in 1 Samuel, you come to this mi yamim yamima, it shouldn't cause you any problems, right? Because we've seen it before. So the kind of context, your knowledge of how sacrifices work, so evidently this family had the custom of making the pilgrimage to Shiloh every year for the sacrifice. And notice that it was probably a family gathering, and they would sacrifice, and it was probably, you know, some of those fellowship sacrifices in which they would eat, and it was a celebration. All right, and so they now use it as an opportunity to see Samuel, to retouch with him give them a few clothes, a few supplies, and things like that. Okay? Good. Any other questions about verse 19? All right, verse 20. U vereke li et el kanava et ishto ve'amar yasem yaweh lekazera min ha'isha hazot tachat ha'she'ela asher sha'ala Adonai ve'halku limekomo. Okay. U vereke. Now notice we're still in Vav plus perfect, and I'm still going to interpret this as habitual action, that Elkanah did this whenever Hannah... I'm sorry, that Eli did this whenever Elkanah and Hannah came for the sacrifice. So, and Eli would bless Elkanah. Okay, that's a PL, Barak is a PL, Vav plus perfect, third masculine singular. Eli would bless Elkanah ve'et ishto, and his wife, ve'amar, and he would say, okay, now here's the blessing action. Notice the content of the blessing. You would say, Yasem. Now look at this verb. What's the root?
Seem.
From seem. What's unusual about it? What conjugation is it? Maybe I should ask that first.
Hifil?
It's a hifil, alright? It's a hifil, but notice what's missing. There's the yud missing, right? It's a shortened hifil. So it's in a jussive form. And notice that it also comes at the beginning of the clause. It's the first word in Eli's blessing. Typically, when you see a prefixed verb at the beginning of a clause, you translate it with this volative force, a jussive force. So he is expressing a blessing or a wish here. May Yahweh give to you a seed. Min ha'isha. From this woman. Notice he's speaking to Elkanah. May Yahweh give to you a seed from this woman, tachat, in place of the she'ela. Okay, notice you can get a couple meanings, a couple new words here. You can see the root is sha'al, and you all know sha'al means what? Sha'al. To ask. Very good, yes. Ha'she'ela. So here's the noun. In place of the request. Which Sha'al he requested. Okay, now notice that it's really Hannah that requested, and you'll see the textual note here, 20b, the Qumran manuscript, the Septuagint, has some different readings. Instead of it, it has Qumran, notice, has the Hifil in place of the call. Hifil means to lend. So you could, some translations actually go with that. In place of the loan which she lent to Yahweh, referring to Samuel. All right, but you could also understand it, in place of the request which, and again some will say, which she asked or which you asked. Okay, the he asked is obviously a difficulty here, and the text may be problematic. And notice you have the lamed in front of Yahweh. If you look at your lexicon, you will find that lamed sometimes follows the verb sha'al when you ask a person something, which she asked of Yahweh. So always, you know, if you see something weird, you say, well, why isn't there an et there? Why is that preposition there? What you want to do is look in BDB under the verb, and you will see they usually have it categorized. The verb with lamed, the verb with el. The verb sometimes is used with bait, and it'll give you at least an idea of the different usages. So don't let that throw you, all right? So in English we would say, instead of a request which you or she or someone asked of Yahweh, all right? Ve'halku, and then they would go limekomo, to his place. And all along there you can see different textual variants that are possible because he's talking to both Hannah and Elkanah, but yet there's a singular suffix, that kind of thing. So just be aware of that as you're reading. Alright? So any questions about verse 20? Alright? Good. Now here's a very interesting verse. Ki pakad Yahweh echana, vatahar vateled shelashabanim u shetebanot, vayigdal hana'ar shemuel im Yahweh. Notice you have a ki plus pakad. Now, what I think this key does is the author of Samuel is actually asserting this thought that God, and the thought you will see is that God did fulfill the blessing or the wish. In case you as a reader were wondering what happened, you know, did she ever have any more children? I mean, because it ends kind of, boy, you're kind of bittersweet. She has Samuel, and then, wow, out of the generosity of her heart, she gives him back to Yahweh. I mean, you think of that. And so, you know, what's on your mind is, every year she would come up with this small coat. I mean, you can think of how pointed that must have been. I mean, just think of that. And every year Eli would bless them and say, may Yahweh give you a seed. So we as a reader want to know what happened. And now you have this key pakat. So notice it's not causal, right? You wouldn't say because Yahweh visited. It's something like, now Yahweh did visit. See, we use that did periphrasis to express an assertion contrary to what you may be thinking. You know, did Yahweh just forget about Hannah after this? So I would translate it like that. Yahweh did visit Hannah. See, this is surprising. Vatahar, and she conceived. Okay, notice that. What's the root of Vatahar? Harah. Yeah, notice that this is one of those third hey verbs. When you shorten it in the vav consecutive, the hey drops off. The pataks are under there because of the influence of the guttural. Alright, those are kind of hard to spy out if you just don't remember that rule. But if you remember the rule that the hays drop, you'll be alright. And she conceived Vatelet, and she bore a son. I'm sorry, and she bore from Yalad. Okay, so she conceived and she bore Sheloshabanim, three sons. Okay, notice numbers, just for your own, they are kind of bedeviling, aren't they? Numbers are vexing. Just remember this. The number one is the most adjectival of all the numbers. It agrees in gender and, of course, number with the subject. It follows the subject like an adjective, usually. The number two is less adjectival than one. Right? So you'll see it. Notice in the next one. So two agrees in gender with the noun that it's modifying. It may be in construct, it may be not. Notice, shete banot, it's in construct. The numbers 3 through 10 are the least adjectival of all. So remember, when you learn your numbers, you remember they don't agree in gender with the nouns. They're just the opposite of the nouns they modify. They can occur in construct or not. And sometimes they follow the nouns they modify. The number two mostly occurs in construct. So notice what you have here. Shelosha, not in construct. You could have had Sheloshet in construct. Alright, so there's a couple different ways to do it. You translate it the same at any rate. So don't let the numbers fool you. You're going to see kind of a variety of ways that the syntax goes. So she bore three sons, Ushete Banot, and two daughters. Alright? Va Yigdal, and the youth Yigdal grew up. The youth Samuel grew up in Yahweh, with Yahweh. And I think it's making probably reference to the fact that he was actually there in the tabernacle with Yahweh. So not necessarily, you know, with faith in Yahweh. Of course, that's too, but kind of actually with Yahweh, maybe, you know. At least I think that that's a possibility here. All right, any questions about verse 21? All right, verse 22. We come to a little different episode, and notice the Masoretes actually divide. You have that setuma, that paragraph, so we're kind of starting a new paragraph here. Verse 22. Ve'eli zakeh me'od, ve'sham et kol asher ya'asun banav l'kol Yisrael, ve'et asher yishkevun et hanashim hatzovot, petach ohel moed. Boy, these sons are bad. So here's something else they were doing. Not only were they messing with the sacrifice, they were messing with the women. Now, Eli, Zakeh Me'od, was old, very. Remember, Me'od is just an adverb here. Was really old, very old. Vishama, alright. Now, you could translate it. Notice that here, this is something that he heard more than once, obviously, right? You could translate it in English, and he heard, or and he kind of kept hearing, at all which Ya'asun, all which his sons were doing to all Israel. So he heard, that's number one. He kept hearing et kol. He heard all which his sons were doing to all Israel. All right. Ve'et asher, and how yishkavun, how they were sleeping. Notice that this root is from shakav, to sleep. And how they were sleeping, it's very interesting that we have the same idiom for having sexual relations. I just thought of that, as the ancient Hebrews did. And they were sleeping with the nashim, with the women who were zovot. Zavah means to serve in this case. And notice that it's simply a call participle, feminine plural, modifying nashim. And they were sleeping with the women who were serving at the petach, at the entrance of the ohel moed, of the tent of meeting. So see, evidently they had women that were supposed to be carrying out certain duties, and the priests were messing around with them. All right, unbelievable. Okay. Questions about verse 22? Okay. Yeah.
That first asher.
Yes. I would translate this, and they were hearing all which his sons were doing. Okay, to all Israel.
And then the second one.
And then that kind of goes with et asher, all which his sons were doing, and see here you have to almost do it with English, the only word that works is how. But notice that the et asher is another direct object of the doing. See? All which they were doing. I mean, I'm the hearing. Kept hearing all which they were doing, and they kept hearing the fact that they were sleeping. I guess you could, if you want to translate it that way. But notice that that whole clause is the another object of shama, to hear.
So, parsing yishkavun.
Yes.
How would you parse that?
Okay. Notice the yishkavun is a call.
Imperfect.
Right. It is a call, imperfect, third masculine plural. But notice, remember, as we've seen throughout this section, he's talking about habitual actions in the past. So this is probably habitual to be, you can interpret it habitually, or you could interpret it roughly what we would do, I think, not everyone would agree with this, with a past progressive. This was happening, you know. And we would do it the same way. Hey, what have you been doing? What were you doing last month? Oh, I was reading a book. We can use that in English. Doesn't mean we are reading a book every second of the day, right?
Remind me again of the nun at the end. What's happening
Oh,
there?
That nun is a paragogic nun,
okay.
And it appears with a lot of imperfects. You know, it depends on the manuscript that you see. It's kind of a scribal tradition.
Okay.
A lot of them have fallen out.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's no kind of semantic, semantic meaning added, okay? All right, good. I'm going to read one more verse so we get to through 23. Vayomer lahem, lamata asun kadevarim ha'ela, asher anoki shomea et divrei kemraim, me'et kol ha'am ela. And he said to them, why ta'asun, notice that this is an imperfect, why are you doing kadevarim ha'ela, according to these things? Which, anoki shomea, notice the participle, which I am hearing. Okay, now notice that this is an interesting grammar. Which I am hearing et divrei kem. So literally, let me translate the whole thing. Which I am hearing your words evil. Notice you have a relative clause here, and the et divrei kem functions like the more familiar resumptive pronoun. I think that this is an instance of incorporation in which the antecedent is incorporated into the relative clause. In other words, the antecedent of the asher is the divrei kem. Notice also something about divrei kem. Your words are not the words that the sons are saying, but words that other people are saying about you. So in English, you'd have to go like this. Why are you doing according to these things? The words about you, see, divrei kem, the words about you which I am hearing are ra'im, evil. See? And then this last phrase, which I keep hearing from all these people are evil. And notice Ela doesn't have a definite article on it. 23c there's no manuscript evidence for it. And again, most often you'll see it in this case, but not always. Some manuscripts, why it was dropped off, no one knows. But you can see that it modifies ha'am.
So the divrei kam then is things about you.
Yes, it's things about you, not your thing.
So rather than being a
possessive
right. situation, it's almost more objective
yes.
in a sense.
Right. It's that's right. You have to understand it like that. Yeah. So he keeps hearing these things about them, and he wants to know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Any other questions about 23? All right, thank you.